on the inside of you when it really matters. And so, sometimes it is, once you get in the middle of a situation, it's too late then. You got to be prepared before you go into that situation. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says a wise man studies how to answer. And what that means is that that person is prepared beforehand. Okay, so before they go into a situation with money, they've already got a game plan in place in terms of how they're going to address that. Okay, before they go into a situation where they're where the subject of sex comes up, they've already got a game plan in place when it comes to that. Before they come into a situation where there's peer pressure involved, all right, they've already got a game plan in place. And so what we want to do here in this youth ministry is prepare you. All right. For some of you, it'll be preparation. For some of you, you're dealing with this stuff right now. And so we want to, the theme of the youth ministry is around relationship with God. But at the same time, we do want to take some kind of some trails off of that and talk to you about stuff that you are either dealing with right now or that you will deal with at some point in time so that you're properly equipped to handle it the way God would want you to handle it. All right. So, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures about money, and we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Okay, so I want to get somebody to read verse 9 and 10 for us. Let's see. Jared, can you read those two verses for us?
But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
All right, thank you very much. So verse 9, it says, those who want to get rich. 50 Cent, the rapper, made a movie called and made a song called Get Rich or Die Trying. And that is the mindset of a lot of people who are bound by the world system. Their focus is on money. And so this scripture addresses those who want to get rich. Now, I want to point out that this scripture does not say those who are rich. Or those who accept being rich. It says those who want to get rich. Okay? That means that they are all about the money. They are all about getting rich. Their focus and their drive is about getting as much money as they can. Now, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Okay? And all these things will be added to you. Okay, so God doesn't want our focus to be on money. He wants our focus to be on his kingdom, but he wants us to have the attitude that as we focus on his kingdom, we accept all the blessings that he has for us. Okay, so as much as we talk about money in this church, I want to be very clear. Our focus is not money. Our focus is the kingdom of God. But what happens is that some people in church, some Christians, because they read the scripture, they interpret it to say that God doesn't want us to have money. Okay? And that's not what God is saying at all. God is saying he doesn't want our focus and our drive to be around money or things. He wants our focus to be on him, but as we do that, these things are going to be added to us, and he wants us to be in a receiving mode all the time to receive all that he has for us. Okay? So, verse 9 says, those who want to get rich, okay, fall into temptation and a snare. All right. And then verse 10, it says, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. I want to point out that this scripture does not say money is the root of all sorts of evil. It says that the love of money, okay, when you love something, you thirst after it, you hunger after it, you think about it all the time, it drives you. It's what you make your decisions by. OK, when you love somebody or you love anything, the thing that you love is kind of what drives your decisions. OK, and it says here that loving money is the root, and it does not say the root of all evil. OK, Obviously, money is not the root of hating your brother or your sister. Okay? It says it's the root of all sorts of evil, or all kinds of evil. All right? So money is not evil. Money is neither good or evil. All right? It's what you do with it. It's your attitude towards it. And so as young people, we want you to have a healthy attitude towards money. All right? Next scripture that we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 6 and 25. Matthew 6 and 25, and we're going to read from 25 all the way through verse 34, and I'm going to ask Jocelyn to read all of those verses for us, 6, 25 through 34.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It's not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and that your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field go. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass on the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, or owe you little of faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of itself.
All right. Thank you very much. Good job, Jocelyn. So these scriptures basically tell us don't worry. All right. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear, because God provides for you. God takes care of you. And one thing I want to point out around this is that money will not take care of you. God is the one who takes care of you. Now, sometimes he takes care of you through money. All right. But money is not your source. God is your source. God is the one who takes care of you. And you should expect God to take care of you. I remember when I was in middle school and high school, as the summer came to a close and we were about to start school again, the big thing with around all my peers was back to school shopping and getting clothes for that next school year. And that's something that I always worried about, okay? Because most of my friends got better clothes than I got. And every time when that week before school came about, I was always thinking about, you know, am I going to be able to get any new clothes this year for this school year, okay? And it was something that was always on my mind, but it shouldn't have been, okay? It shouldn't have been, but it was. If I had known God, right, and I had trusted God, that wouldn't have been an issue. But unfortunately, I didn't, and it was. All right. But God is telling us, don't worry about back to school shopping. All right. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about your wardrobe. Now, I know as teenagers, wardrobe for some of us can be an important issue. OK, now, when I was 10, I didn't care what I looked like, nor what I smelled like. Okay. When I was eight, I may or may not brush my teeth. It just depends on what kind of mood I was in. Okay. I may or may not take a bath when I was 5 years old. It just depends. You know, I didn't care. You know, little kids jump out the bath when they're 4 years old, run around naked. They just have no concept of how they look. You know, if hair, it just doesn't matter. But something happened when I became a teenager. I started actually being concerned about the way I looked and the way I smelled. OK, and so my mother no longer had to tell me to take a shower. I took a shower on my own. OK, this isn't godly or anything, but just flesh. There were girls involved. So I just wanted to smell good. OK, and I wanted to look good. And so my mom had to tell me to take a shower anymore. I took a shower on my own. OK, I got my first bottle of cologne when I was 12 years old and started wearing cologne. It was called Chaps. Terrible. Anyway, but I started asking for cologne for Christmas and for my birthday. Okay, started asking for clothes. Now, when I was 7, I asked for Transformers. Okay. Or I asked for G.I. Joe figures. Okay. Or Star Wars. Yeah. But at some point in time, I grew out of toys. Right. And I wanted stuff that, you know, was, I guess, what people would call more responsible or more adult-like. And so I started being concerned about the way that I looked and the way that I smelled and how my hair was and those and those sorts of things. But God doesn't want us to be worried about that. OK, there have been times when I was a young person when I did worry about what I was going to eat and what I was going to drink. Everything was not easy for me or for my family all the time when I was growing up. I didn't lack for anything. I mean, I had the basics of everything. But when I looked at my friends around me, it seemed like a lot of my friends had more than I did. OK, it seemed like they had better clothes. OK, they had intact families. I came from a divorced family. It seemed like they had more money to do things. It seemed like, and so I found myself as a teenager, didn't want to, but sometimes I found myself comparing my life to my friends' lives and kind of what they had. Okay, and had I known the truth then that I know now, I wouldn't be worried about that. So now I'm trying to tell you. Okay, that's not something that you should be concerned about, because at the end of the day, just in the natural, the grass is not always greener on the other side. Okay, when you look at somebody else's life, just because their life looks perfect on the outside does not mean that it is, and I guarantee you it's not. They've got their own set of challenges and things that they're doing. As a matter of fact, they're looking at you and probably envying something about you. Okay, so don't be worried about other people. Don't be worried about what your peers have or do or involved in and don't have or do and involved in. You worry about you. You worry about you and your relationship with God. Okay, because I guarantee you, everybody around you, they've got their own problems. They've got their own insecurities. They've got their own things that they're dealing with. And it is a waste of time to be concerned about what other people have around you, what your best friend is doing, what the people that you respect at your school that you think kind of got it going on. It is a waste of time to envy them and to be concerned about what they think about you in your life. OK, because the truth is they've got their own issues that they're dealing with. And the truth is they are only human. OK, they are nothing but flesh and bone and breath in their nostrils. That's what the Bible says. OK, they're just human. OK, they put on their pants the same way as everybody else. OK, so don't be worried about clothes and food and stuff. And especially don't be worried about it when comparing yourself to your peers and other people around you. OK, it's not worth it. The only person that you want to be concerned about their opinion is God. OK, that's the only person that you want to be concerned about their opinion of you. OK, now, obviously, you know, you probably want to be concerned about your parents' opinion of you. But hopefully your parents' opinion of you is a reflection of God. OK, ultimately, God is the person that you want to be concerned about his opinion of you. And nobody else's opinions matter. Nobody. It doesn't matter what people. It doesn't matter what I think of you. It doesn't matter what your brother or your sister, you know, thinks of you. OK, it matters what God thinks of you and the fact that God loves you and he's accepted you and he's made you his own. OK, so don't worry about money. Don't worry about clothes. God will take care of you. OK. All right. Next scripture that we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to start at verse 14. And let's see, we're going to read verse 14 through 30. And I'm going to ask Jessica if she will read those verses.
Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent into the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have it in abundance. Whoever does not have, and even what he has, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth.
All right. Thank you very much. Good job, Jessica. All right. So the verses that Jessica just read basically have an overall theme to it. And anybody ever heard of the phrase? It's a business phrase. It's called ROI. Anybody ever heard of it? Yes. Great job. All right. They're teaching y'all something. All right. Yeah, anyway, return on investment. Okay. ROI. Basically, return on. What does return on investment mean? What's the concept or the idea there?
How much you get back when you put something in.
Yes. How much you get back when you put something in. So if someone makes an investment into something, they want a return on the investment that they just made. Okay. So. When your parents invest in you, all right, they want a return on that investment. Okay, so when you're 30 years old, they don't want you, you know, strung out on drugs and, you know, eight kids with no, you don't know who the daddy is, you know, broke, busted, and disgusted. Unless that's the investment they made in you. You know, they want you to be successful, and they want you to be in tune with God and His plan for your life. I said that, so they want a return on investment. Okay, and you're the same way. If you spend time studying for a test, you expect a certain grade because you've invested time, and so you want a return on that investment. Okay, and it's the same way with the things of God. There are certain things that God has put on the inside of you. There are certain gifts and talents and abilities. There are certain callings that He has on your life, okay? And He wants a return on that investment. He wants you to take what He's given you and do something with it. He wants you to produce. He wants you to be a producer, not just a consumer, okay? He wants you to be a producer, all right? And it's the same thing with money, okay? And the concept here around money is that you should allow your money to make money, okay? You should allow your money to make money. And the 3 people that we looked at in the scriptures that Jessica read, we had 3 guys who were given money to work with. And they 2 of them came back and said, your money has earned more money. All right. What you gave me has earned more. OK. And so when it comes to how you approach money and how you think about money, many, many people in the United States of America, including adults and teenagers, they have what we call a consumer mentality. And all they can think about when it comes to money is spending. Spend, 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 spend. I get birthday money, and immediately, well, the first thing I think about is what I can spend it on. Okay? I get money for Christmas, right? And the first thing that goes through my conscience and my mind is what I can spend this money on. Okay? I get money for graduation. And immediately, the first thing that comes to my mind is how I can spend this money. Okay? It's a very common thing. It's a very natural thing. And there are many people who do that and deal with that thing. The first thing that they think about when they get money in their hands is how I can spend it. Okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with spending money. Okay? You should enjoy money. All right? But if all you ever think about when you get money into your hands is immediately how you can go out and spend it, what you can buy, and you never ever think about how you can save it, or how you can invest it, or how you can use it to accomplish something else for the kingdom of God, then your approach to money is wrong. You should have a balanced approach when it comes to money. You should want to save some of it. You should want to spend some of it. You should want to invest some of it. And obviously, we've already talked to you about the tithe and the offering. So that I'm kind of from this point on, when it comes to the tithe and offering, I'm kind of giving that as a that's kind of a given. You know, we're going to do that. But after the tithe, right, we want to think about money in a balanced approach. How can I save some of it? How can I spend some of it and enjoy some of it? And how can I invest some of it? Okay. Now, for a young person, there's a couple of different ways that you can invest money. Okay. Maybe you won't do stocks or bonds. Okay. Or maybe you'll get your parents to help you in that. But that's not the only way you can invest money. Okay. A simple investment is to take part of your money, open a bank account, an interest-bearing checking account or savings account, and put your money in that account and let it earn some interest. Now, it may not be that much, but the principle of investment has now been enacted, where your money is now making money. Okay. Another way to invest money is to sow seed, give an offering. Okay. That's an investment. Okay. And there's a return on that. So when the offering buckets come by, if you've already tithed, but then now you want to make an investment and you want to sow some seed, then take that part of that money and sow seed into that bucket, right? Believing that God is going to bring you a harvest. All right. That's another way that you can invest money. OK, another way that you can invest money is to use it. Some of you have some business ideas. Some of you have been interested and have been involved actually in doing some of your own sort of business things where you do something in the summer or you make some money or whatever. Maybe you save part of that money to invest in what it is that you want to do. All right. So if Quavon's doing cooking or he wants to get involved in doing some cooking business, maybe he gets some money for, you know, his birthday or Christmas or graduation. He says, I'm going to take 5% of that and I'm going to set it aside for my business. OK, what is he doing? He's making an investment in himself. Really? He believes in Quavon, you know, and he believes in what God has put in Quavon. So Quavon says, I'm going to take 5 or 10% of this money. I'm going to honor God with the first tenth. I'm going to give offerings. Then I'm going to take a piece of this money and I'm going to invest it in Quavon. Okay? And, you know, I did that, you know. When I started my graphic design business, you know, I took a couple of $1,000 and I believed in myself, you know. And I invested it in equipment and software and business materials. And I tripled my investment. Okay. Now I'm not as involved in it as I was then, but it's something that I did. I made an investment in myself. Okay. Because I believe that I can do better with my money than the malls can. Okay. Or the banks can. Or the government can. All right. So you can make an investment in yourself if you have a business idea or there's a hobby that you like or that. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, absolutely. So the concept here in the scriptures that Jessica read was that use your money to make money. Okay, there's nothing wrong with spending it. You know, if you want to go get that latest video game, hey, go enjoy it. Go get it. Okay? There's a pair of shoes you've had your eye on, go get it. You know, if there's a shirt you've had your eye on, go get it. You know, if there's a mobile device that you've had your eye on, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But have a balanced approach when it comes to money. Okay? Save some of it. All right? Spend some of it. Invest some of it. Okay? All right. Any questions around that so far? Okay. Few more minutes, then we'll be wrapping up, okay? The next scripture we're going to look at is Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. All right, Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. We're going to read verse 10 through 13. And I am going to ask Quavon if he will read, if you will read verse 10 through 13 for us.
Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate one or love the other, or he will devote to the one and despise the other. Who cannot serve both God and money?
All right, thank you very much. Okay, so verse 10, it basically says that if you're faithful, if you can be faithful in what is little, then you can also be faithful in what is much. And in verse 11, that if you've not been faithful in worldly wealth, and here, what it means by worldly wealth, we're talking about money, dollars, cents, gold, rings, diamonds. That's what's being referred to here when it talks about unrighteous wealth. Who will entrust the true riches? Now, what are the true riches? The true riches are the kingdom of God. Okay, the kingdom of God and His principles and His ways of doing things. Those are the true riches. But God says the way that you manage the things that He gives you here on this earth, the natural things, okay, goes to how you will manage kingdom things, okay? And if you can be trusted in handling money, okay, then God can trust you with more, okay? So if you get a dollar and you tithe 10 cents off of that dollar, okay, a dollar is a small thing. But if God can trust you with a dollar, God says, you know, looks at Jacob and says, man, Jacob even tithed off of his dollar. He returned 10 cents. If I can trust Jacob with a dollar, I can trust him with $10. If I can trust Jacob with $10, I can trust him with $100. Okay? So in order to receive more from God, you want to make sure you're being faithful in the little bit that you have. Okay? If you get $40 for your birthday, and you've got $40 for your birthday the last 5 years, and all you've ever done with it is just kind of what your flesh wanted to do with it, and you've never ever really thought strategically around your money, okay, even as a young person, then it's going to be difficult for God to trust you with much more, you know, amounts of wealth. Okay, so you want to learn as a young person to be faithful in small amounts of money, and God will be able to trust you with more. Okay, so you get $20 and you return the tithe $2 off of that. Okay, then after that, you listen to the Holy Spirit. You decide what you're going to do with the rest of it, you're thinking strategically around your money. What I mean when I say you're thinking strategically around your money, you're not just doing with it whatever every other 15-year-old is doing with their money. Okay, even if you just have a little bit, And I think that's where a lot of teenagers get hung up, is they say, well, I just have $5. Okay? Learn to be faithful with that $5. You return the tithe, 50 cents. Okay? Not the rapper. But you return the 50 cents, and then, you know, let's say that you're going to save a dollar. Okay? You'd say you're gonna set aside another 50 cents for investment, and then, you know, maybe you end up spending the rest. But you're thinking strategically, you're thinking long term about your money. If you learn to do that when you're 13 years old, you'll be in a much better position when you're 18 in terms of your ability to handle wealth and money and things and opportunities that come your way. Okay? I know you may be 15 right now. But 15 is going to come and go, and then you're going to be 16. And 16 is a great year. I enjoy being 16, but 16 came and went for me. Then I was 17, and 17 came and went. And then I was 18, and 18 came and went. Okay? The age that you are right now and where you are in life right now is not going to last forever. You're going to keep on going and growing. So you want to make sure that you're preparing yourself properly to be in a position, the type of financial position that God wants you to be in, that God has in store for your life. Okay? All right. Last scripture, and then we'll be done. And it's in John chapter 6 and verse 10. John chapter 6 and verse 10. All right, this is the story of Jesus feeding the multitudes. You may have heard it referred to as Jesus feeds the 5,000. But basically, it's a situation where there's thousands of people who are following Jesus. He's been ministering for a long time, and they're hungry, and there's nothing there to eat. And there are no restaurants, there's no Applebee's, there's no Luby's, there's nothing out there, and no Chick-fil-A. And so all there is a little boy who has two fish and five loaves of bread, okay? And Jesus takes those two fish, he takes those five loaves of bread, and he multiplies them, and everybody gets a chance to eat and be satisfied, okay? Let's see. Let's pick up here in verse 10. It says, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. Likewise, also of the fish. There's a phrase there. It says, "as much as they wanted." Or some of your Bibles say, until they were completely satisfied. God doesn't want you to have just enough. He wants you to have as much as you want, as much as you need, as much as you can handle, as much as is going to satisfy you. All right. God is not interested in giving you a little bit. He's interested in giving you a lot. Okay. And when it comes to money, you need to have that mindset. God doesn't want you to have to get by with just a little bit. He wants you to get by. He wants you to have enough and more than enough, and be satisfied. And then verse 12 is a verse I wanted to focus on. It says, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost. Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost. And it's amazing because not only did the people get full, like how many of y'all have ever had dinner or ate at somebody's house, or you went to a restaurant and you really were like, you really didn't get full. You still were hungry. Like, is it drumstick left or something, you know? Can I get a slice of brisket, something left, you know? At our last youth fellowship, y'all a bunch of greedy. No, I'm just kidding. I wish I had a camera for that youth fellowship because, y'all wasn't getting full. Yeah, y'all was just, you know, I thought I saw one of y'all putting nuggets in their pockets. You know,
who was that?
Just like,
who was that?
But you want to get full, right? You want to get satisfied. And it's amazing here because not only did the people get full off two fish and five loaves, but there were fragments left over. There was more left over. And look at Jesus' attitude around the fragments. Okay, he says, "Pick up the fragments." And it says there were 12 basketfuls of fragments. And he says, "Do this so that nothing will be lost." When it comes to money, God doesn't want anything to be lost. Okay, so if you see a penny on the ground, in your mind, you're saying that's a fragment. It doesn't mean anything. Hey, pick it up.
Every penny counts.
Every fragment counts. Some of you say, you know, you have $10. You know, you bought this, you bought that, and now you got a bunch of change in your pocket. And, you know, you say, well, this change ain't nothing. You throw it on the dresser, or you just kind of, you know, give it to someone, you know. It doesn't really mean you throw it in the offering plate. I got some leftover change, you know, here, God. There's a mindset in the world that fragments aren't important. But God says, I don't want anything to be lost. And so back to the concept of if you're faithful in what is little, use the fragments, use the coins, use the change. Why does pastor say, if you have any leftover, if you have any loose change or coins, put it in the jar, put it in the, y'all know I'm talking about the water thing, for campus ministry. Why does he do that? It's scriptural, okay? Just because you've got some leftover change from what it is that you really wanted to buy, just because you got some leftover $1 bills, okay, don't think of that money as, well, that's just leftover money, that's just cast off, that's just, you know, no, it's money is money, okay? And don't leave anything on the table. Okay, if you can get a dollar, get a dollar. If you can get $20, then get $20. If you can get $1,000, then get $1,000. Okay, but you know, I see some people, you know, and I used to have a problem with this. Some people trying to bargain in a store off of $5. Say arguing over $5, and I'm like thinking, well, it's just $5. You know, it's just a dollar. Just, and they're like, Brian, it's the principle, man. It's the principle of it. You know, they owe me a dollar, you know. Go through a drive-through. And I was at Chick-fil-A the other day, as a matter of fact. I went through the drive-through, and they shorted me 10 cents. Well, I never left. I was still at the window, and I got my, you know, I got my change, and I was, I just subconsciously counted it, you know. And
I saw a story one time of this lady. Sued Walmart. She got like, I don't know, a couple hundred dollars off of maybe because they charged her an extra penny.
Wow.
She sued and got a couple hundred dollars for it or something like that.
Yeah.
Not guaranteed.
Yeah. So, Brian, what are you saying? Should I be legalistic about this? I'm not saying that, but I am saying that every piece is something. Okay, and there's something to be said for every piece. And so while I do not care about 10 cents, I don't. Okay, I don't. In other words, 10 cents is not going to make or break me. But just the fact that I gave, if I give you a dollar and it costs 90 cents, okay, I don't expect a nickel back. I expect a dime back. And it's just kind of the principle, you know, of the thing. Now, how far am I going to take it? Am I going to take it so that we're now arguing and I'm now angry and upset about it? No, I'm not saying take it that far. I'm not saying violate one principle of God, which is peace, for another one. But I am saying, as much as it is possible, do what you can with every piece. Okay, I'm not saying create a scene. I'm not saying start an argument. And will there be times where you just need to leave it alone? Yes. Okay. But as much as you can, pick up the fragments, because those fragments add up to 12 basketfuls. And who knows what you might be able to do with that?
Yeah.
You know, you might be able to buy a new shirt. You might be able to get that new iPod if you do that for a year. You might be able to get that new computer if you do that for a year. I got this big coin thing at my house,
yeah.
And just change in my pocket, I throw it in there. You know, after a couple of months, You know, I had like $40, you know, change in there. You know, I had a Nestle Toll House can, you know, and, you know, I got $40. I'm going to do something with it. You know, hey, just, you know, might take somebody out to eat. But it's fragments, right? Pick up the fragments. God doesn't want anything to be lost. Yes, sir, Will.
We were collecting change in a jar for our family, and it was a coin counter, and we got $14 in it, just with mostly pennies.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly pennies.
Yeah. All right, Miss Jerry.
I had a client, sorry, one time they did that. They had a jar, and they were trying to pay off some bills or some things. But they said, we're just going to put our change in this jar. And a year later, they had over $800, and they took a family vacation. Because they were focusing their just kind of paycheck by paycheck money on taking care of these old bills. But this was something nice they were able to do for themselves, just with their
check. Jerry, would you mind sharing something? Something that I believe, or Rob, you and Rob used to do. I don't know if you still do it, but it's around envelopes and just setting a little bit aside here and there.
Oh, okay. So what we do, we have like categories.